This is WBAA. I'm Kristen Malavenda. Major changes are coming for the Scholastic Aptitude Test, more commonly known as the SAT. And joining me in the studio to talk about what's different and why is Purdue Associate Vice Provost for Enrollment Management and Dean of Admissions, Pam Horn. Pam, thanks so much for joining me today.
I'm happy to be here, Kristen.
You serve as Purdue's representative on the College Board, which is responsible for administering the SAT. First, give us an overview of the changes.
There are a number of major changes. Probably the one that is most dramatic to the public is that the SAT will be returning to the more familiar 1600 score. So there will be two 800-point sections to the test and then an optional essay, unlike the last 10 years where there have been three sections to the test.
When you say optional, what would it mean to a student? How would they decide whether they should exercise the option of taking that or not?
Well, students who take only the ACT have had to exercise that option for the last 10 years. The writing sample has been a mandatory part of the SAT, but optional for the ACT. So colleges and universities have to market, really communicate widely to their prospective students as to whether or not they require the optional assessment. So now that both tests will have an optional essay, Purdue will have to make a decision as to whether or not we'll require it.
These are the first changes really to the SAT. By the time they go into effect, it'll be almost a decade. Why now? And how do you decide on the changes? How does the College Board decide?
Primarily by talking with both high school teachers and with college faculty. And the test is really changing now because the high school curriculum is changing. Probably heard of the Common Core State Standards that have been adopted by over 40 states. And college faculty are also looking at having students be prepared by looking at a number of subject areas in more depth rather than breadth. We want to make sure that our students understand critical thinking, evidence-based thinking, writing that is a reflection of really looking closely at source documents and not just expressing personal opinions. So it's really a combination of the curriculum, both at the high school level and what we expect of students in their first year.
So it sounds like in addition to making the essay portion optional, the content of the questions in the two other sections, the mandatory sections, will be a little different focus.
They will be changing. In particular, what will now be called evidence-based reading and writing will not just measure how well students understand the parts of speech and punctuation and vocabulary, but also how they can discern meaning and evidence as they read source documents. And so we expect that the test will be measuring critical thinking, which is extremely important. The math will also be looking not only at high school math and particularly algebra, they're calling at the heart of algebra, but also problem solving using math for everyday situations, which of course is extremely important for everyone. And then a third part of the math section will be measuring how prepared students are to tackle higher level math, such as calculus.
Are the changes driven by what colleges want to see in students, or are they driven because high school curriculum is changing, or is it a little bit of both?
It's really a little bit of both. And the great thing is that college faculty have also been involved with the development of the Common Core State Standards. So I think for the first time in a long time, perhaps ever, we're going to see a greater articulation between what's expected of students in high school and what's expected of them in terms of their preparation for their first year in college. So this is an exciting time in education. And to have those disciplinary faculty, math faculty from both the high school level and the college level talking with one another about expectations is important.
I know there's a little bit of a change to preparation for the SAT too. I know when I was in high school a jillion years ago, you paid quite a bit for SAT prep classes, but now there's a free option for preparing.
That was one of the most exciting announcements because the Khan Academy, which most K through 12 folks know about, many parents, many teachers referred their students who might be having some challenges in particular courses to look at the Khan Academy lectures and workshops online. The College Board struck a partnership with the Khan Academy such that they are now providing free SAT preparation, demystifying the test, helping students assess where they are on some of these measures ahead of time, and then providing practice for them. And that's available now for the current version of the SAT, and it will be available for the new version in 2015 in preparation for 2016.
People think that the SAT or the ACT, they're the be-all, end-all of college admissions. In your role as Director of Admissions here at Purdue, how does it factor into whether or not you admit a student?
It's certainly not the be-all and end-all. We do require one or the other assessment, and we will continue to do so. However, the best predictor of college success is actually grades and core academic subjects in high school. So we look very carefully at those individual grades and how they relate to the curriculum that the student has selected for their application for Purdue, and that is indeed the best predictor. We also look at the rigor of the curriculum that the student has selected in high school relative to what's available. We know
right.
some of our small schools may not have 20 AP courses, but for a student who's out of school that has 20 AP courses, I'd want to see more than one, not 20, but I'd like to see a few that the student's really challenged herself in the setting that she's in. We think that's very important. So those two factors are actually given much greater weight in the admissions decision than the test scores are, but they are taken into consideration.
While we're on the subject of college admission, also extracurricular or co-curricular activities, how important is it for students to be involved? And does it make a difference whether, you know, if they're a musical student and they're involved mostly in musical activities, does it make a difference to be well-rounded or focused in one area? How does that factor in?
It's a lesser factor compared to the academic prediction because admission for success at Purdue is something that we take very seriously. This is a rigorous academic environment and we want students to be prepared. On the other hand, we want to ensure that we have students who are going to contribute to the campus community in a variety of ways, whether it's with work experience, singing in the glee club, being in the marching band, leading student organizations. That happens fairly naturally, quite honestly, when you have over 30,000 applications. And we find that students who do well in school academically have a tendency to also be involved and do well in leadership and service. But for students who are on the bubble, that can make a difference. And certainly when we get to our most highly selective processes for scholarships, for example, then those kinds of activities outside of the classroom are extremely important. Again, we have to consider, did this student need to work to help support their family financially? That's also something that we would take into consideration. Have they had to overcome some obstacles in terms of health or family situations? So all of that tells us who the student is and what we could expect them to contribute to the campus environment.
Well, I've been speaking with Purdue Associate Vice Provost for Enrollment Management and Dean of Admissions Pam Horn about changes coming for the SAT and college admissions in general. Thanks again for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you, Kristen. My pleasure.
Kristen Malavenda, WBAA News.